Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
His living soul searches places that he don't want to go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above. Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. And as you know, this is Kathleen McCarthy, and I am blessed and privileged to be a part of this broadcast. I say a part of the broadcast because it doesn't happen without you. So first and foremost, I want to thank God for all of those that allow us to continue to broadcast the good news, to broadcast the message of life, and to broadcast the teachings of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church in total accordance with the teaching magisterium. We have a wonderful guest with us today, a young man by the name of Ken Johnston, and we will get into interviewing him. Ken, I'd like to welcome you.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's great to be here.
And little did I know, but Herb, if you and Joni are out there listening, as it turns out, the world gets smaller and smaller all the time. As it turns out, his mother-in-law and I worked together many, many years ago at St. John of the Cross, brought back a lot of fond memories. So if you're listening today, Joan and Herb, I can only tell you I have nothing but wonderful memories, and it was a beautiful, just very nostalgic and very beautiful to think about those good old days, as well as to see what a beautiful job you've done with your family and the work that Ken's doing. And Ken has started a chapter in Philadelphia called Calyx. And what that is, it's a why don't you tell us what it is, Ken?
It's basically an organization that was started a little over 60 years ago for people that are in recovery in order to expand their spiritual life, especially in lieu of the 11th step and 12-step programs, where we seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And really, Calyx came out of that, the idea of that step, that once we were in recovery and were on our way, that we needed another outlet in order to improve our conscious contact in the context of our Catholic faith.
That's really an awesome gift because, of course, Jesus didn't leave us orphaned. He left the sacramental life of the church to be with us always, even till the end of time, so that he could be with us. And unless we have his life in us, which is the Eucharist, we have no life in us. And so we're praising and thanking God that you had the holy boldness to begin a chapter in the Philadelphia area, and we'll be talking all about that. As you know, I'd like to begin with the gospel. Many times, many of our listeners don't have that opportunity and that privilege to get to daily Mass for one of many different reasons. You know, maybe due to work, sometimes due to being housebound, or even through sickness, they're not able to get out. And it's just so refreshing and so healing to hear what God's saying to us every single morning. And one of the main things he does is speak to our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And so we're going to go with the readings today. And after the readings, we'll expand on that a little bit. And we'll talk all about Calyx and the wonderful work of this program. I first and foremost want to say that any of you who are listening today can share with me a moment off the air. We just really met for the first time a few minutes ago. And he had shared with me off the air that it actually came out of his heart through the prompting of the Holy Spirit as he began to go through the church ministry program. So for all you who are going through the church ministry program, and I know a lot of people are at this time, I just want to tell you, be ready. When you have a willing heart and an open mind and a servant's heart, God's going to use you, and he's going to move you out of your comfort zone. But it's going to be for to build up the kingdom of God. And with that, I'm going to just begin to share the readings of the day, and let's go to that right now. I'm going to open with the first reading. Thus says the Lord, and this is a reading from Isaiah, one of my favorite books. Just as from the heaven the rain and the snow come down and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will do the work it was sent to do for the end of which I sent it. And the responsorial psalm that seems so fitting, I said to Ken as I pulled up the readings today. I was at a funeral mass today, so I didn't have the regular readings in front of me. And the readings today were beautiful because the responsorial says, from all their distress, God rescues the just. And how good is our God? Whether it's AA or an addiction, sickness, illness, unemployment, there's nothing impossible with God, is there, Ken?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And this is good news for all of us today, that from all their distress, God rescues the just. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us together extol his name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. And he delivered me from all my fears. From all their distress, God rescues the just. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy, and your face may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress, he saved him. The Lord has eyes for the just, and he has ears for their cry. And the Lord confronts evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. And if you'd be so good, Ken, to read the gospel.
Today's gospel was taken from the 6th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions."
The gospel of the Lord. Well, you know, as we read the readings today, as I said, God is, he's the most, when you talk about the mosaic, that when we give him all the pieces of our lives, what a beautiful mosaic he makes out of it. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the readings, and I couldn't help but thinking how God does rescue all of us from distress. All we need to do is cry out to him, and so few do. And today, with what we're talking about, I just want to put the word out to our listeners. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We're about to talk about a beautiful program. It's not limited to Catholics, of course. Anybody can come. But for Catholics, it's an added gift from the Lord. Many years ago, way back, even before St. John the Cross, I used to say, and if Joan, you're listening, you'll remember this, when I started the prayer group at St. John's, but I used to say, God, we don't need a definition of the Holy Spirit. We need a demonstration. And Calyx is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power of that God left within his church to sustain us through all those trials and tribulations, and some of those being addiction, some of those being alcoholism. And I want you to tell our listeners a little bit, Ken, about yourself, about your walk, and how your yes opened you up to Calyx.
I grew up in Holy Martyrs Parish, the oldest of four. Had a great family growing up, loving parents, and somewhere along the way in my late teens, managed to head down a path that wasn't so great. Mm. I got married relatively young, and have a wonderful daughter who will be 26 in May out of that marriage.
Wow.
But unfortunately, that marriage didn't work out. I ended up divorced, moved back home for a short time with my parents again, and then met my wife, Susan, who will be married 21 years come Thursday.
Wow.
And that never would have happened without the intervention of God and recovery for me, the 12-step program. Susan and I got married in 1989, and at first, things were well, and it had nothing to do with her. This was just Ken being Ken, and found myself doing things that I'm not proud of today.
Right.
Spent a lot of time away from my family, mostly in bars and that kind of stuff. But
hey, I hear you.
And for some reason, all throughout 1991, we had financial troubles. Things just weren't great around the house. I contemplated not being on this planet anymore for a few months there. And December 30th, it was a Monday, 1991, was no different than any other day in the year or two leading up to it. And I going to work that day again, swearing that that was going to be the day that I wasn't going to take a drink. By 4:30 that afternoon, I was on my usual seat in my usual bar. And I got off that train on the way home at 9 o'clock that night in Glenside. And to get home, I would walk up Easton Road, and to get to my house, I would make a right and walk about a half a block. And for whatever reason, that night in a blackout, I made a left, and I ended up on the front lawn of my brother-in-law's house. And I thought I had rung the doorbell when I got there, and here I was just standing out there, I guess, looking like an idiot, and they came out and got me, and I went to my first 12-step meeting the next night, which happened
praise
to be...
Praise God.
Yeah, praise God is right, which happened to be, of all days, New Year's Eve, 1991. And, through the grace of God and the 12 steps and a lot of great people, I haven't felt the need to take a drink since then.
So you really were... God had spoken to your heart without you even recognizing his voice.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't know that at first. It took a long time to realize what had actually happened that night.
Moment of grace, a tremendous moment of grace in your life.
Absolutely. And it's been quite a journey since. I mean, things right after obviously weren't great. We still had a great deal of financial problems. And, my thing was, I'm just going to get well enough to get my life back in order. And then I was going to go back to that same crowd I was hanging with. And fortunately, it did take some time for me to get my life together and long enough for me to realize that I didn't want to go back to that life. I saw some great men that came before me that you know, were just laughing and happy and you know, they love their wives, they love their kids, they love spending time with their wives and kids. And I saw that and I wanted it.
That's awesome.
And you know, they were good enough to share it with me. And that's why these 12-step programs work, all of them, AA, NA, GA, OA, SA, you know, every kind of A. It's as soon as somebody walks into a room and they say that they're in one of these A's, right away I relate to them.
Sure.
I know where they've been, and I can share my experience, strength, and hope with them, and they with me.
Right.
And together we share God's grace.
Yeah.
Sometimes unknowingly that it's God. You know, a lot of times we think it's us and the knowledge that we've gained and the experience that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the beauties that happened with me was that, and with Calyx, when I learned about it, was realizing how much of a role God played. And, you know, I went through 12 years of Catholic school. And, you know, that wasn't going to keep me sober. I was going to Mass infrequently, but that wasn't going to do it. It took those 12 steps. And I guess what I found over the years, and a great guy, Joe, that's over in Camden, that's involved in Calyx, so I got to know, and he always, you know, he says he's a member of the CIA, Catholic Irish Alcoholic. And I was seeing that in a lot of the rooms. You know, people would introduce themselves when they would tell their story, and they, you know, my name's such and such, and you know, I was born and raised Catholic, and I got to thinking, you know, these people have all these tools at their disposal, in addition to the tools that the 12-step programs
right.
give us, and what it would be like to be able to tap into that. And most of the people have, you know, similar stories, raised, went to church as kids, somewhere mm-hmm. along the line, stopped going to church, and to find a way to reintroduce them to a church often that wasn't what they thought it was.
Exactly.
You know, I love Scott Hahn's line where I think he says, you can find a million people that don't like the Catholic Church for what they think it is, but you can't find two that don't like it for what it really is.
That's true. Yeah.
And so it's been neat. I had some couple guys, we used to call ourselves the Beads. We prayed the rosary back in the mid to late 90s, and that had a heavy influence on me. Just going down this path with other people. And that's what Calyx is doing. Like, a lot of people don't want to admit they want to go down this path, or they don't want to try this path. But when they meet people, and especially a large group of people that are headed down that path, it's easier for them to jump in.
Right.
So
you just had a wonderful experience at St. Gabe's.
Yeah.
Down there in Graves Ferry.
Right.
Why don't you give us a little insight into that, about the brokenness of people from all walks of life. You know, it's not a certain type of person. It's not a race. It's not a denomination. It's not a certain age or personality. Although I will say, my husband had a lot of that himself, and there wasn't a greater evangelizer or man filled with the Spirit more than my husband Jim when he turned his life around.
Mm-hmm.
So I call that wounded healers,
mm-hmm.
because that's why Jesus relates to us. He was like us and all suffered all things but sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what you're in the midst of doing as a wounded healer.
Mm-hmm.
You were so wounded, and out of a moment of grace in your life, which you thought was probably the worst embarrassing moment of your life, but how God worked it for a greater good. And now you're out bringing what you received. And that's what we're called to do, to give
right.
the gift that we've received. And you're doing it really beautifully. I'm going to give our phone numbers out, Ken. Why don't you give them right here? Let me say, no, you can't give them backwards, can you? Go ahead.
There we go. It's 610-527-2906 or 1-888-34-FAITH. That's 1-888-343-2484.
And for all of you who are listening on the, maybe you're coming home, it's about 20 after 5. Maybe you're coming home and you don't want to miss the program. Run in the house, turn on your computer and get it off the internet. Go to www.inhissign.com. www.lifeonthefringe.com. Click on Listen to Live Radio and continue to join us. You won't miss anything. So, just going to reiterate those numbers. Give us a call. Ken's so gracious. He said he'd be glad to take any questions that you might have. Maybe you've experienced Calyx. Maybe you have a word for our listening audience about how they touched your life, how that organization has touched your life, how a moment of grace has changed your whole life. Again, our phone numbers, 610-527-2906, or you can dial toll-free anywhere else in the United States, 1-888-34-FAITH, 1-888-343-2484, and we'll put you right through. And once again, you know, many of us through all different walks of life, if we've been blessed for any length of time over a couple weeks or a couple months old, there's no living person that hasn't experienced some struggle, some problem, some heartache, and God's moment of grace has always been there for all of us. And Phyllis, I hope you have a question about this subject matter. I'm going to put you on the air. Hello, Phyllis.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for Ken?
I've been sick for a month, and it's really been hard. And my legs hurt. My back hurts. It took the doctor 3 weeks to order me an antibiotic, and I think I'm going to have to change doctors because he just doesn't answer back on his phone calls.
Well, Phyllis, listen, we're going to pray right now.
Okay.
But I want you to listen because I have a guest on the air and we're talking about a special subject matter.
Oh, great.
And but that's part of sickness, too. So we're going to pray right now for you, Ken and I, and all of our family of listeners out there. Okay. We know what it's like to suffer anything. So Phyllis, hang up and have a listen, all right?
Okay, thanks.
All right, God bless you. And Lord, not only Ken and I, but all of our listening audience, our staff out there, John and Maureen and Dennis is sitting out there, we just ask, Lord, that your healing word, the word that you spoke in the Gospels today, Lord, you said it goes forth from you and it never returns void, but it does the work it was sent to do. To bring healing, Lord, to all of us. And so, Lord, I just praise and thank you, and I ask for your word to touch Phyllis in a very special way. Lay your gentle hands upon those legs, because, Lord, you're beyond time and space, and I know that you can be with her right now at this moment. So lay your gentle hands upon her. Ease her pain, comfort her heart, and heal her soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so getting back to Calyx, I loved your motto. Why don't you share that about the cup?
That we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies.
Right. I love that.
And it's so true. It's so true.
And I loved your banner. I think it spoke, you know, when I took a look at that banner on the website, and it really moved my heart because it, you know, it shows the Eucharistic heart of Jesus, of course, and it's just very very telling. Mm-hmm. He is the source and summit of life, and so I want to praise and thank God. And and again, before I took that call, you were going to share a little bit about you had your first day of recollection, or what did you call it?
No, it was. It was the day of recollection. Okay. It was our inaugural one. And just maybe if we just take a step back of how we ended up in Grace Ferry. It was interesting. January 2009, at the recommendation of one of the members at the original group in Glenside, suggested we send a package to every rectory in the diocese to give them information about Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, and Calyx, so that anybody, you know, a priest gets a phone call, somebody rings the bell, at least they'll have some information at their fingertips. And one of those packages ended up at St. Gabriel's Rectory with a great pastor down there, Father Lee, who's been very supportive of Calix and Father Doug's ministry in that parish. And Father Doug, Father Lee happened to get it and give it to Father Doug. And Father Doug McKay called me shortly after. And within a couple weeks, through a mutual friend that we were talking about earlier, Joe, Joe gave me a ride down there and introduced me to Father McKay and Our House Ministry and the work that he's been doing in that area with alcoholics and addicts for some 10 years now. And we now have a meeting, a Calix meeting in Grace Ferry every Tuesday night.
Wonderful.
I'll be leaving here, headed down there. But we meet there every Tuesday, starting with a 6 o'clock holy hour and then a meeting at 7 o'clock. We can talk about the other meetings in a minute.
Yeah.
But in going down there, the same woman that suggested we do those packages, Amy and I and our spiritual guide at the Glenside Group at St. Luke the Evangelist, Father John Lyons, went out to York to a mass that the Calix group in York was having. And on the way back, this was December 5th, I mentioned we should really have a day of recollection. What do you think? And Father John and Amy thought it was a good idea. I don't know if you or your listeners have ever been in St. Gabriel's Church in Grace Ferry, but it's absolutely, they call it, when I got down there, they introduced it to me as the Cathedral of South Philly.
It's beautiful.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. And Father Lee graciously gave us the church and the hall to use on January 30th. And far exceeded my expectations. We, I was hoping to get 25, 30 people. I think we had 80 different people that were there sometime throughout the day. Father Joseph McFadden, or Bishop Joseph McFadden, rather, came and said Mass for us 9 o'clock that morning, a beautiful homily. And from there, we had coffee and donuts. Father McKay gave a nice talk in the morning. Amy, my friend, gave a lay witness. We had lunch. Father John Lyons gave a talk in the afternoon. And then we did some devotions. We had a holy hour. We had Stations of the Cross. We prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We had confession. It was just a wonderful day. I got nothing but positive reviews afterwards. And don't know how often we're going to do it. You know, it takes some time and effort and some money to put it together.
Right.
Hopefully there's another one in the near future.
Okay. And if you're listening today, maybe your ears perked up. Maybe you have been have received the generosity from God's heart to be healed or delivered from alcoholism. And maybe you know someone that has. And maybe they'd be willing to sponsor that day. If so, give me a call or let Ken know. Or, of course, I'm going to give you the website. It's Philly.
Philly, PHILLY-Calix. That's CALIX.com.
And I just want to read you a little bit off the website because I think it's articulated very well. Their creed. It's Calix is an association of Catholic alcoholics who are maintaining their sobriety through affiliation with and participation in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. So my brothers and sisters, they're not saying this takes the place of. They're saying in conjunction with, it's all part of that participating in that Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. And their first concern is to interest Catholics with an alcoholic problem in the virtue of total abstinence. Our second, stated purpose is to promote the spiritual development of our membership. And I think that's wonderful because I think AA is, I think it's all those programs, Alcohol Anonymous, all of it are wonderful programs. But to be able to call your God by name, to be able to develop that personal relationship with Jesus as your Lord and your Savior adds an extra dimension there that others, don't have in that way. And so I was particularly taken by that when I read that. Yeah. I think that's wonderful that that you articulate that so clearly, that it is to promote the spiritual development of your membership. And then again, going down here, the third objective, namely, was to strive for the sanctification of the whole personality of each member. That's the good news, the whole personality. There's so many people who have suffered, whether it's addiction, whatever the woundedness is, whatever that has control over them rather than having control over it. And I think everybody can relate to that. You cried out. You got on that train and you said, this was my last drink. And yet, you know, little did you know that part of you wanted that more than anything else in the world. You heard people talking about loving to be with their families, their children, just experiencing that peace in their lives, even amidst turmoil and tribulations. Mm-hmm. That was the amazing thing that you picked up on. And yet there was something lacking. You wanted to, the spirit is willing, but your flesh was weak. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until you had that, because first off, you weren't aware of the great help through the Eucharist, through the sacramental life of the church, so that when you came into the 12-step program, it opened your eyes as well as your heart to begin to see the wealth that we have within the Catholic Church. And I think that is always underestimated. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
The main thing for me, I think, was the Mass. Mm-hmm. I grew up as an older boy. I would come home from school and go up in my bedroom, and I'd pretend that I was the priest, mm-hmm. and I was going to be a priest someday, and I'd say the Mass. And even doing that, I didn't fully comprehend right. what was going on when we were there.
That's right.
Through some coursework, through Scott Hahn's book, The Lamb's Supper, after researching what actually goes on at the Mass, mm-hmm. I haven't been able to look at it the same again. And I hear people all ages, my kids, I'm bored, do I have to go? Why do mm-hmm. I have to go? And it's if people just realized what's actually taking place
exactly.
at the Mass, you'd never be bored again.
That's right.
And as a matter of fact, tonight when I leave here and get down to Grace Ferry, we're doing a series on the Mass on the fourth Tuesdays of the month, where we're going through
Wonderful.
The Mass piece by piece for the same thing. There's a group of people that comes there. Some are more knowledgeable about what's going on than others. Mm-hmm. And when they just heard a little bit of the beginnings, just with the procession at the beginning of Mass, and thinking not of it as, you know, Johnny and Joey, the kids that live down the street, as the older boys,
right.
and, Mr. Smith, the lector, but looking at them as the apostles, mm-hmm. and as Jesus, that's actually Jesus Christ walking down the aisle, not Father Joe or Father Doug or Father John, and beginning with that, and then what goes on throughout the rest of Mass, it can be an incredible experience,
yeah.
and sometimes it troubles me that so many people come, and like I said, they say they're bored, and mm-hmm. What's going on, and don't fully comprehend
right.
what the Lord's given us in Mass.
And you know, the wonderful thing about our God is that He's more patient with us than we are mm-hmm. with ourselves, and you know, we forget that He waits. He's a gentleman. And He waits till you invite Him in. And that's why so many times somebody does have to reach a point of falling on their knees, mm-hmm. and literally, and instead of looking down, though, to look up. And how blessed we are that our God is such a loving, merciful God, that under any circumstances, all we have to do is cry out to Him, as the Scripture said today, and He rescues His people from distress. We are going to be taking a little break, and after our break, we're going to take those phone calls. I'm going to give out the numbers again. It's 610-527-2906. Also, you can call anywhere else in the United States at 1-888-343-2484. And before I take the break, let's get this call in. Hello, Vincent.
Yes.
How are you?
Kathleen.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for calling in. I hope you're calling in regards to our guest today and the subject matter.
Yes, I am. As you well know, I'm aware of this program. Not so much of Ken's program, but right. it's the I was sitting here listening, and man, listening to Ken speak. And by the way, Ken, sounds like a phenomenal program you have.
Thank you, Vince.
I'm a member of, I've been in AA for since 1992. I'm a recovering alcoholic.
God
so
bless you.
Some of the sharing that you were doing, I certainly lived through that. And by the grace of God and Jesus, my whole life has turned around. And, you know, I walked around hopeless for many, many years and hurt my family, my daughter, my wife, my through alcoholism, terrible, terrible disease. But through Lord Jesus Christ, I was touched in many years in AA. And today I have hope and a brand new life, and it's remarkable. I've been sober since 1992, and I remember coming home on a Halloween night. I thought my life was over. I thought, just as you did, Ken, of leaving the planet, and it just wasn't to be. And I'm thankful I didn't do that. But it's a terrible darkness that we live in when we go through this addiction. Mm. And by the grace of God and His power, we can overcome that and have a good, healthy, normal, marvelous life. And one of the problems that I did see in through many years in AA was the fact that it was a higher power. I couldn't say Lord Jesus Christ, and I sort of missed that. Mm-hmm. I knew who was helping me as much as the people. I know God works through people in AA. He works through many of the programs. But it's the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus that totally, totally delivered me from the despair of alcoholism and the nightmare. Right. It's a disease that destroys families, not just the individual.
That's right.
And it's just marvelous. And listening to this program made me more grateful, just listening to it. Brought back some of the memories. You take a lot of things for granted in life, but when you forget where you come from, you'll never get where you want to go. And I believe that in my spirit. But I'll have to look into your your program, Ken. It sounds fantastic.
Now, we'd love to have you, Vincent. We'd love to have you.
And I'm awfully so proud of you, Kathleen.
Well, thank you.
My favorite sister.
Thank you, darling.
My only sister. But as you well know, you lived part of experience of my life, all my life, so you know what happened to us and how we turned it around. You were at my retirement party.
That's right.
I never thought that would happen.
You know, Vince, you bring up an important point here. At your retirement party, now this was the same company you work with, even when you were broken, and but when you sought help and you changed your life, turned your life around, you really didn't change. You became all that God was calling you to be.
Yes.
And the accolades and the magnificent party they gave you, the testimonies of the people, said how they could see God in you, how they could see your strength and your hope and your courage. And because of that, I have to say to our listeners and to Ken, I'm sure you will have your own little caveat on this, but it is that is what people will remember who you are now, because now you are who God called you to be from your mother's womb. He freed you up and set you free. And for that, I am very grateful, and I know my beautiful sister-in-law is as well.
Oh, yeah, she's sitting here listening, and I just want your listening audience to know that, Kathy, how many times you sat in proxy for me and prayed for me, and, you know, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed.
Amen.
And I'm always be holding to you, and we're very, very close because of that for many things. You always had my back for years.
Right.
And I love you.
I love you.
And Ken, just listening to you, you're great for the program. I can hear your voice, your experiences, and the Lord is certainly using you and your ministry, helping alcoholics and addicted people. And I personally thank you for that.
Thank you, Vincent. I look forward to meeting you in the near future.
I'd like to do that.
All right. Okay. God bless, darling.
All right. God bless and thank you both.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And before we take that break. We don't want to hold a call all that time, so let's take another call. Hello, Pat. Pat, are you there?
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Kathleen. How are you? God bless you.
Good.
And God bless you, Ken. It's wonderful to hear your story and the
thank you, Pat.
Beautiful outcome. And I just wanted to ask you perhaps some advice. I have a nephew who's in his late 40s, who's been struggling with alcoholism for many years. And in 1999, his marriage broke apart, and he has two children. One's in college right now, and one's in, I guess, grade school or maybe high school. And he's been to rehab, and he has gone to AA, but he has never been able to, you know, persevere or, you know, hang in there long enough. And he's really a great, you know, a great guy, and it's sad to see him struggling the way that he is. And I have tried to talk to him many times and have prayed for him. And I was just wondering if you could give me any counsel or advice on how I could possibly help him and maybe put him in contact with somebody that he could speak to in your ministry.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, the prayer is the main thing. And what I often tell people, that especially with family members, they'll ask similar questions. And I tell them to pray for the stranger. And that'll be the person that
tell them to pray for the stranger?
Pray for the stranger. That's going to be the person that your nephew's going to run into, that's going to that may have that message that he needs to hear when he's not expecting to hear it, that may get him back to the rooms. In the meantime, I mean, if he is open to talking about it, I don't know if you have access to a computer, Kathleen. We give you the website.
I did write your website down. I actually aren't. I'm not a computer person, but I know he has a computer.
Yeah, and on the homepage is contact information. It's got cell phone numbers for a couple of us. It's got email addresses. By all means, if you know, if you think he's open to it, and you can slip him a piece of paper, hey, why don't you give this guy a call? Maybe he can help. We'd be more than I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody. That's how we in the A's stay, you know, keep what we got. We have to give it away. That's the main premise. You can't keep it unless you give it away. So
absolutely. And I just, you know, I had to go with my cell phone to call here because my son's here using my phone because of our computer. But anyway, you know, I just felt led to call, you know, very strongly.
Yeah.
And because he's such, you know, he's my sister's son, and he lost his mother a couple years ago. And he's one of five, and they all have children, and they all have, you know, sound marriages. And even you were talking about the faith. I mean, I just think that's something that's so important. And with talking to someone who has been through it, naturally would, I think, make a tremendous effect.
Amen.
And help him in a way that, you know, certainly someone else may not be able to get through. Yeah.
You know, Pat, I mean, really, when you think about it, that's what I was saying about wounded healer. But look at Jesus. The Father sent prophets. He sent everybody, and they still didn't listen. He looked down. He said, I'm going to have to come down and be one of them. And when he finally did that, they finally came to believe. And it's true. You know, pray for that stranger that will come into your nephew's life. Ken, do you want to address some of the things that Pat had just mentioned? Do you want to add anything else before we go to our...
I just wanted to tell you, Ken, his name is Stephen. And if you keep him in your prayers, and perhaps when I give him this information... I'm going to pray and that he'll be led to make a phone call.
Amen.
Because I know he wants more than anything to get back on the right track.
Right.
And whenever I see him, I say, Steve, how you doing, hon? He said, I'm hanging in there, Aunt Pat. Yeah. And that's kind of as far as it goes.
Well, Pat, I'm also going to give out, not only for you, but for anybody who's listening today, maybe you're not suffering from the addiction yourself of alcoholism or whatever, but it affects your life, just like it affects Pat's life. Her heart is broke for her nephew. Your heart might be breaking for a niece, a daughter, a mother, a father, a son, a stranger that you know is suffering, but you don't know them well enough. Write this down. Drop it to them by just starting up a conversation. There are currently three active groups in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. One is in Glenside, that's in Montgomery County, mm-hmm. St. Luke the Evangelist. And they meet in, let's see.
Yeah, we meet there on the last Saturday of the month. At 8:30 in the morning, we go to the regular parish mass at 8:30, and then we go downstairs for a meeting. We're usually done by 10:30. Free coffee and donuts. Like I said, we're out of there by 10:30. There's the Grace Ferry group where I'm headed as soon as I leave here. We meet every Tuesday night. That meeting starts with a holy hour from 6 to 7, and then we have a meeting afterwards. That's a really neat spot. Most people, if you drove down 29th Street, you would have no idea that this place exists. There's two row homes, 1439 and 1441 South 29th Street. That's where the holy hour is, at 1441 South 29th. And you walk through this row home door, and there's a beautiful chapel that Father Doug and his benefactors build in there. And we're there every Tuesday. And then the most recent group to start just started in September at St. Eleanor's up in Collegeville. And they meet on the last Sunday of the month. So it just so happens that we're in the last week of the month. So we got Tuesday night tonight at Grace Ferry. We have Saturday at St. Luke's in Glenside. And then Sunday night, the Collegeville meeting at St. Eleanor's, they have a 7 p.m. Mass. They have every Sunday. And then after that, there's a meeting in the Vianney Center, the building right next to the church there. And so any one of those three, all three, whatever mm-hmm. you can make, be more than happy to have you be a part of the group.
And once again, Calyx is an association of Catholic alcoholics, addicts who are in a 12-step program and would like another outlet as well to share about their recovery in the context of their Catholic faith. And what an added benefit that is. You know, just as Vince had just said, which I had said earlier about, we know who's healing us, but to be able to call out Jesus' name, to be able to honor and worship the Savior of the world, who we know saves us from ourselves. And with that, we're going to take a little break. A little late, okay, but we're going to take it. God bless you, darling.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Oh, you're welcome, Pat. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And also, we're going to try to get Mike in. He's patiently waiting. Mike, how are you?
Hi, Kathleen. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to call and thank Ken for being in my life. He was put in my life for a reason, and there's no coincidence in my life anymore. There's a reason for everything. I'm sitting outside the South Philly Cathedral, St. Gabriel's, and I'm ready to go in adoration. But I was sitting here listening through the whole program, and I feel a little uncomfortable because of being on the radio and everything like that.
You're doing
but
fine.
But I couldn't help but call and let Ken know that, well, he knows it already, how God is working through him to get to other people, and he's gotten to me, and I'm so grateful for that because I've been sober 23 years, and I was always looking for Calyx or something like Calyx, and Calyx came into my life and through Ken, and it's been so special to me because it brought me back to my childhood faith, and which I ran away from because I looked for the easier, softer way. And the easier, softer way is doing the right thing and through God and the gospel and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Ken has done this for me and through Father McKay and our house ministry, and I just wanted to say that my brother Pat is listening right now. I'm getting choked up from it. But
yeah, big Pat, huh, Mike?
He was waiting for that day for you to speak, and I thought it was going to be, but now he's in God's hands, and he's listening to me, and I just want you to thank you for being in my life, Ken.
No, thank you, Mike. Mike.
That's all I have to say.
You said it beautifully.
I'll see you tonight. But right. If anybody's looking for a program with Catholic Alcoholics and the Catholic religion and any spirituality through Calyx. It's a great group and a great, so many great people, and God works through people, and He has put Ken in my life for a reason. And there's no coincidence when you have God in your life. There's no coincidence. There's a reason for everything. And you realize that. And once you realize that, life is so much easier. But I just want to thank you for being on air tonight.
Oh, God bless you.
Can't wait to see you, Ken.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I'll see you in about an hour. Mike's
all
there.
Right, have a great night.
Yeah, thanks. Mike's there every Tuesday since the beginning.
Praise God. We're blessed to have you with us today, Ken, and we know God is a God of mercy and love. We're just going to close now with a prayer. Father, we just praise and thank you for the gift of your love in our lives. The gift, Lord, that can set us free from any bondage. The gift of your love and your mercy and your compassion. Lord God, so many people walk upon this earth and they live their hell on earth, especially those that are suffering through alcoholism, the families that are broken through alcoholism, through all the many addictions that come from that, stealing, robbing, all the things that give them the money to do what they can do, to drink themselves into those stupors. But Father God, Ken has told us today to exchange that cup that would bring you into a stupor for the cup that brings sanctification through the sacrament of the liturgy, the sacrifice that you died to give us life. Lord God, heal your people. Send your word out, Lord, touching hearts, minds, and spirits, breaking those chains, Lord, that hold so many people bound through alcoholism. Give them the grace and the strength and the courage to pick up their cross, Lord, not to drag it around because it'll weigh them down, but to pick it up and embrace it. For as they embrace the cross, they will be filled with a courage, a strength, and a hope that can only come from you. In Jesus' name, we praise and thank you for the gift of your healing love. Amen and amen. There you go. You can expect a call.